This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. We like to think that we have some insight into what others are thinking, but research shows that is true up to a point. Turns out we are overly confident that we know the minds of other people, even the people we are closest to. That is a core point that University of Chicago psychologist Nicholas Epley makes in his insightful new book, Mindwise. Nick, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
I've been enjoying this book and learning a lot from it. You call our ability to think about the minds of others and understand them our brain's greatest skill. Why is it our greatest skill?
Well, it's the greatest for a few reasons. One, if you look at what distinguishes us from other species on the planet, it really is the social sense that we have. So our two-year-old toddlers are about neck and neck with our closest primate relatives, chimpanzees, and their ability to reason about physical objects. So the ability to track a reward, for instance, where it's located in the environment. But what really makes our toddlers stand out are their social senses. A two-year-old infant can reason about other people's intentions, can monitor eye gaze better than the most sophisticated adult chimpanzee that we know of. And this is really an impressive human ability. This is a thing that seems to really make us unique on the planet.
And you say it's not making tools. It's not the opposable thumb. No. It's this ability to be social.
It's what allows us to live in these huge social networks, to get along with each other, to coordinate our goals and to cooperate with each other, to figure out who we should trust and who we should avoid. It's critical for sharing knowledge like this. So we have language that allows us to communicate our ideas to each other. It's a critical component of human life.
Okay, so it's crucial, but you write, the main goal of your book is to reduce our illusion that we have insight into the minds of others to the degree we think we have. Let's look at some examples. For example, people we work with, what are we good at figuring out about them, about their minds, and what are we bad at?
Yeah, so one of the things that we do spend a lot of time doing is wondering what other people think of us. Right. So do you like me or not? Do you think I'm intelligent or not? Do you think I'm kind or not?
So far.
Do you think this is an interesting thing that I've written or not? And we're pretty good at figuring out what other people think of us in general. But when it comes to figuring out what people think about us in particular, what any individual person thinks of us, we don't do nearly as well as we guess. So I might be fairly accurate in figuring out what my class, for instance, thinks of me in general. But figuring out who in that class really likes the course and who doesn't like the course, I'm pretty much at chance on that. That's a hard task. We can't do it that well.
Just a question about methodology. How do you know that?
Well, you ask people. That's what you do. And so the best indication that we can have about how much somebody likes somebody else is you ask them anonymously and privately to report how much they like somebody or how attractive they find somebody to be, for instance. And then you look to see whether other people can predict those scores very well. And liking is something that people can report actually quite well.
So with a group of people, you might say, I think they pretty much like me, and you'd be correct. But you might say, this person likes me, and you know better than flipping a coin if that's accurate. But let's turn to the people who we're closest to in our lives, the people we live with, romantic partners. We think we know a lot more about their minds, and to a certain degree, that's true.
To a certain degree, that's true. So consider an experiment that we did at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago with dating and married couples. We brought them into the laboratory, asked one couple to fill out a 20-item questionnaire, and asked the other member of the couple to predict the other person's responses on this. By chance alone, they would get three out of 20 of these questions exactly right, just by chance, giving the scales that we used. Our couples were better than that. They got 5 out of 20 right. So they were a little better than that when chance was 3. But the interesting thing was they thought they got about 13 right.
They thought they knew their minds of their significant others much better than they actually did.
Yeah. So they were better than chance, but nowhere near as good as they thought they were.
Nick Epley is a psychologist. He's talking about his new book. It's called Mindwise. He writes about how our ability to know the mind of another works, how that ability might be more limited than we imagine, and how we can be smarter about the minds of others. We make judgments about people, what they're thinking, based on how they speak, how they look, their body language, and you call that the central challenge. Why is that?
Well, it's a central challenge because bodies do not communicate mental states as clearly as we might think. People do things on accident. Sometimes they mislead you. So if I ask you, how much do you really like my book? You're not in a position to tell me the honest truth right now, but you tell me something, and it's easy to take that at face value. It's hard to figure out what people are really thinking behind their actions. That's a real challenge for us.
But there's this illusion that some people's emotions flash over their faces in a very reliable way. Others have poker faces.
Yep.
Is that true?
So there is some truth to that, but the truth is most of us have poker faces.
Really?
So we have a very strong belief that our own emotions leak out. This comes actually from – this is a well-known egocentric bias. Psychologists refer to this as the illusion of transparency. So I know what my intentions are. I know when I'm feeling sad, for instance. And that creates an illusion in us that our emotions are therefore more transparent to other people than they actually are. Our own emotions don't leak out as much as we think they do. But that also, I think – makes it easy for us to buy into the notion that other people's emotions leak out of them and are expressed more clearly than they actually are. Every morning I get on the train in Chicago. I've got 50 people on the train with me going in into the office. They're all feeling very different things, They all look largely the same, right? I can't tell sure. who's going through a midlife crisis and, you know, who's got a son or daughter who's doing wonderfully in college, who just got married and who just got divorced. You can't see it on people so clearly.
But then it comes to our own minds, and you think there's quite a few flaws there too about knowing ourselves.
There are. Well, and the reason is because we understand ourselves in much the same way that we understand other people. That is by doing some inferential guesswork. So some things you can report on with a good degree of accuracy. That is, they predict behavior pretty well. They look to be quite reliable. So I can ask you, for instance, what you're feeling right now. Are you happy? Are you sad? And if I put you in a condition where you can tell me what you truly believe, that self-report will be pretty good, just like you can report what's happening on a movie theater screen if you're in there watching a movie. But if I ask you why you're feeling happy, right, I ask you to explain how your brain is working to create that sense. Why are you happy? There you're doing some guesswork. Well, gee, I don't know. I had a really good breakfast this morning, or things are going really well at work. You have to guess. And that's the same thing we do with other people. And there the reliability drops a little bit, just as if you were asked to explain, why does the projector work as it does?
Sure.
How is it that the projector gets that screen up there? You can report what's on the screen, not so well why it's.
And your metaphor for the mind is the house. We understand the rooms of the house, but we really don't understand what goes on behind that. And that's what's kind of going on in our own brains.
Yeah, you can say what the house looks like,
but
how it got that way, how it was built that way. That's a much harder thing to do.
Here's the kind of key fact that really nailed that for me. You talk about how many synapses and how many connections can be made in our mind, and you compare that number to, I think, particles in the universe. And could you explain that?
So So the number of possible neural connections in our brains exceeds the number of possible particles in the known universe, according to V.S. Ramachandran, a well-known neuroscientist, University of California. I mean, that's a stunning degree of complexity. The most complicated thing you will ever encounter in your entire life is another person. The brain is the most complicated organ that you'll know of, and yet you reason about it very easily and intuitively, but of course it's way too complicated for you to reason about it at the neural level in a way that makes any sense. That's beyond our grasp.
Nick Epley, I got to say, it's called Mind Wise, but the message I took away from it was I'm kind of mind stupid and I should be a little bit more humble about what I think I know about myself and what I know about others. I think that's part of what you're trying to convey in it. So what do we do with that?
Well, you do whatever the same thing you would do if you learned that you weren't so good at almost anything. Right, that you might try something else. So if you thought that you made bad decisions with your finances, well, you probably wouldn't just try harder. Maybe you'd seek advice from somebody else, from a financial advisor. Here, I think the message is the same. We think we're better understanding other people than we actually are. We think our inferences work quite well. They don't work quite as well as we think. And once you know that, then you seek out different strategies. Reading body language doesn't seem to work better according to the empirical evidence. Trying to put yourself in somebody else's shoes also doesn't seem to work that effectively. The only thing that does is stopping guessing and asking somebody.
Ask.
That's about as close as you can get.
Ask them directly. Try to infer it.
No magic in that. That's the truth.
Mind-wise, how we understand what others think, believe, feel, and want. Nick Epley, thank you so much for telling us about it.
Thanks so much for having me here.
It's The Record on KUOW.